Buzz.com.
Now, once you understand the consumer insight, then it becomes a cakewalk. So the bottom line is, every great brand has a consumer insight. And therefore, if you want to create great brands, go in search of that consumer insight. And the consumer insight always resides with the customer. And that is the big lesson that I have learned and always followed.
Hey, welcome to Pathbreakers. Today, we're going to be talking about gin, salt, talcum powder, and products which attract girls with our guest today. And yes, this is Pathbreakers, and it's not some other podcast you've dialed into by mistake. Our guest for today, Rajesh Srivastav, is a former CEO, J.K. Helen Curtis, was also the VP Marketing for Captain Cook, Salt and Atta, adjunct faculty with IIM Indore, a corporate trainer, and of course, now the author of his latest venture, The New Rules of Business. To encapsulate his career and accomplishments in a few seconds wouldn't be as entertaining and refreshing as having a freewheeling conversation with him. And I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit of Hindi as well, just to spice it up. Don't be taken in by his warm, simple demeanor. His jokes can knock out Tyson. His adventures in creating products would put Indiana Jones to shame. And his questions would make your school principal feel like a cakewalk. As for his charm, figure out for yourself over the next few minutes. So here's wishing Rajesh a very warm welcome to Pathbreakers.
Hey, thanks, Upendra.
So, Rajesh, huge, illustrious career in an even more colorful personality. So I was struggling, where do we start? So I thought, let's start at something interesting and spice it up. So let me kick this off with my first question, right? It's the year 96, and then you join as a head of marketing for Captain Cook, and you're launching this thing called Atta, which is sold in packets, right? Now, in today's day and age, consumer packaged goods has pretty much become the norm in most urban and rural households. But tell me, when you are entering a marketplace, how do you go and sell to a consumer or a retailer a concept of Atta in a packet?
Upendra, is very, very simple. Every single decision that you make in life should be focused on the customer. So what we realized was the magnitude of the problem that we were going to solve. So if you break India, and talking of Atta, there are actually two distinct markets in India. One is the North market, where Atta is a staple diet. So the North Indian, the Delhi housewife, wants Atta to be coarse, to be brownish in color, not white. And she wants large pack size because it's the staple consumption. And she's very, very price conscious. Let's come to Madras, now Chennai. There, Atta is not the staple diet. So what they prefer in Atta is finer ground, should be whiter in color, small pack size, and they are price insensitive. Now take a look at this problem. On one side, North is one housewife with one set of desirable attributes, and on South is another housewife with another set of desirable attributes. And we wanted to use Z television, right? One channel to communicate to both. How do you solve that problem? And the answer is very simple. Whenever faced with a problem, don't sit in your office and then come out with various options how to solve the problem. Just go and speak to the person who you want to sell to. So in this case, we went and spoke to the homemakers. That time they were called housewife. What will actually make you buy Atta? And what came out was very simple. There is one common thread that linked the North Delhi housewife with the Madras housewife, which is Chennai housewife. And that is a simple consumer insight. And that insight was women or housewife will buy that brand of Atta, using which if she makes roti, the husband will eat more. And therefore, in this communication, the communication ended with one tagline which says, theek hai, the husband says, theek hai, ek aur roti do. Now, once you understand the consumer insight, then it becomes a cakewalk. So the bottom line is, every great brand has a consumer insight. And therefore, if you want to create great brands, go in search of that consumer insight. And the consumer insight always resides with the customer. And that is the big lesson that I have learned and always followed.
So now, of course, we're sitting in a time and place when packaged goods are fairly regular and common. But my request to you is if you were to step back to those days when consumers would never really have a vocabulary of buying packaged goods outside, especially for consumables, right? In the food category. So my question to you is, when you enter a category with a concept, correct? If you can possibly share an experience of how really you break open the consumer's mind so that they start opening their wallet. A couple of days back, I was in the pharmacy shop below my house and I saw this packet selling beetroot chips, which are apparently baked. Then there are these Karela things which are coming on. So the reason I'm asking this is, we are increasingly seeing more branded stuff getting into our diets, right? The more recent generations seem to be more amenable to it. Maybe the elder generations are still taking to it. I really don't know. It's rapidly evolving. But at the outset, what really helps you shift that needle where the consumer says, hey, let me get this into my home?
Very simple. I mean, we could take three examples. Let's start with atta.
Sure.
If you want to get a reason why people will shift from their existing habit to a new habit, right, which is what you are proposing, then there is a measurement device which actually was shared with me by Kunal Shah, and he has labeled it as 4 delta. What is 4 delta? If you have a current habit and you actually propose a new habit, and if people try the new habit and the improvement that they experience is more than 4 delta, meaning it is 4 times better than what their existing habit is, they will always go ahead and shift and never return back. So let's follow this principle for atta. Earlier, housewife in, let's say, 70s, 80s and mid 90s, what was the process? They cared for their family, and how did they express that care? They expressed that care by a simple thing. They went to their kirana stores. Haath se wo log gehun ko choose karte the jo achha lagta tha, jo golden gehun hota tha aur jo unko zehen mein achha lagta tha. Choose karte the, khareedte the, aur fir wo chakki mein le jate the aur chakki mein pees ke wo log apne ghar mein usi se roti banate the. In this way, the housewife felt very secure ki she is actually providing the best atta for her family. And this is the consumer insight. The starting point for confidence is good quality gehun. And having understood, we can communicate to the housewife ki hum bhi achha gehun use karte hain aur achha hi nahi, sabse achha. Iska matlab ye hua ki agar aap communicate kar dein ki hamara gehun Sehor ka hai, Madhya Pradesh ka hai, jo ki sabse achha gehun ke liye bahut hi mana jata hai, then they will possibly shift over. Number 2, once you prove ki gehun achha hai, the second thing is that you have to remove all the consumer pain points in the process. What was the pain point that the customer had in the journey from the time she actually went and selected the gehun till the atta came home? She had to make a trip to the kirana store, look at all the options, select, negotiate the price, get it packed, either get a buy or literally carry it herself to the chakki. Chakki guy has an ambient which is totally awful for a woman to stand there, aur chakki mein aata peesne ke baad to take it home. And then she gets that aata. So what did we do? You look at the customer journey and remove the existing pain point, either remove it or reduce the pain point. And that is exactly what we did. We chose the best gehun, told her this is the source. After that, all the pain point that she had, we removed it. She didn't have to go to the kirana store. She didn't have to make a choice. She didn't have to take that chosen gehun to the chakki wala, which is an ambient, which is not very conducive, and then carry it home. So if you see, we removed all the pain points and she got the atta right there in her kitchen. And she took to it because the previous experience and the packaged experience was more than 4 delta. Now, Upendra, this is what we did way back in 1990s, mid-90s. And this is exactly the principle that all startups follow. Take Uber. Why is Uber so successful? What did Travis Kalanick do? He did a simple thing. He plotted the customer journey of a rider. So we stay in Mumbai. Let me tell you what is the problem in Mumbai. If I want to take a cab, I go to the main road and I have to start chillan, hey, yaar, mego, ruk, haath hilake. Then the cab will not stop where I am. He will always stop ahead of me. And then, like Milka Singh, I have to run there. And then, I have to bend my neck and put my head inside the cab and tell him, mere ko idhar jana hai. And once I told him, mujhe idhar jana hai, the guy invariably will actually smirk and say, nahi jane ka hai. Then I have to very, very slowly remove my head before he starts the cab. Otherwise, I risk getting hit on my head. This thing happens with 3 or 4 cabs. Perpetual rejection. And finally, when I get a guy who's ready to go with me, I sit down and I tell him the direction. Usko pata hi nahi hai mujhe jana kahan hai. Then what both of us do? We ask the guy on the road, yaar, meko idhar jana, meko batao kaisa. And you know what is the biggest pastime in India? The biggest pastime in India, usko bhi pata nahi hai jo main pooch raha hoon, but he will confidently say, yaar, aage se aap right le lena. this entire trial and error, we reach the destination. Let's say the bill comes to 160 rupees. I give him 200. Wo bolta hai change nahi hai. Now the responsibility for getting the change is me. And then I have to go to various stores and various other cabs begging for change. So what are the pain points in a taxi journey? First, exposing yourself to elements of nature, getting rejection. Number three, sitting in a cab that is not very hygienic. Fourth, he does not know the direction of getting misled. And finally, when you reach the destination, this guy doesn't have change. This is the pain point of a customer in a customer journey.
Sure.
And what did Travis do? He plotted the customer journey and removed all these pain points. So now what I do, sitting at home, I tap 3 times. The cab comes. I go down. I sit in it. He drops me to the destination and I walk away. Upendra, what is the entire lesson? If Uber today is one of the valuable startups, and the strategy that they followed to make it valuable is the same strategy we followed in getting people to give up their old habits of buying Gehu, Chakki and all that, is the same thing. And therefore, friends, if you are hearing this, then just remember one thing. If you want to endear yourself to your customers, make your customers fall hopelessly in love with the product that you have created, there's only one way that I know. And that way is, go and understand what is the customer journey has to take to use your product. And once you plot that customer journey, find out what are the pain points. And if you can eliminate or reduce those pain points, then customer will love you for it and reward you with their business.
So, Rajesh, tell me something. Habits is a favorite word of mine, right? And I think that's a challenge for many marketing professionals. Quite often I hear the word changing habits. My question really is, are we changing habits or are we enhancing essentially the experience and outcome of those habits? What are we doing?
Habits are something ingrained in us and it is very, very difficult for us to change our habits. But human beings are selfish. All of us are selfish. Therefore, if the new habit actually gives you a pleasurable experience, which is far in excess of what you currently have, then people will change habits. And that is what I was referring to, the 4 delta, which Kunal Shah introduced me to. Take a simple thing, airline booking.
Hmm.
Upendra, you may not be there when airline booking used to take place. You had to go to the agent, or let me play this game with you. Let's take railway ticket booking, long distance. What was your experience of long distance ticket booking on a scale of 0 to 10 or 1 to 10? 1 is very bad, 10 is awesome. Previous train booking, you had to stand in the queue and do it. How much was your experience?
Would have been a -5.
-5.
It would have meant taking a day off from work, standing in the line for 6 hours, and then quite often you wouldn't even get a ticket when you reach the counter. So it used to be a disastrous experience.
Today, with online ticket booking for Indian Railways, what is your current experience?
A few clicks away.
How much is it? On a scale of 1 to 10.
It's almost 9, honestly.
It's almost 9. The difference between 9 and -5 is almost 14.
Correct.
The moment it is more than 4 delta improvement between your past experience and the current experience, you will never go back. Because this experience is so awesome that being a human being, you want to maximize your pleasure. And if this new way of buying ticket is much more pleasurable and more than 4 delta, then you are unlikely to go back to your previous habit. So what is the bottom line? The bottom line is simple. If you want to change people's habit, you know the existing way people actually use or consume the product. You come out with your new solution and ask people to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. If they experience more than 4 delta positive experience, then they will change habits, not for you, but for themselves. Because human beings, as I said, are selfish. They want to minimize their pain point and maximize their pleasure points.
4 delta, great insight. Now, linked with habits are also societal perceptions, societal imagery. You worked in the liquor industry. You've led some great brands. You've transformed some of them. But liquor is what I always call the bad boy. So this is stuff which people love to consume, but it's literally the beating bag of every social commentary, media analysis and so on, right? So tell me something. A is, how do you think consumption of liquor and the view of society has really changed about consumption of liquor? B is, are people more clear about their bad habits and are they saying they're cool about it?
Well, Upendra, consumption of alcohol has transformed And there are three distinct stages in India in which it has transformed. The first thing is, right up till before liberalization, men were the primary consumer of alcohol. And one of the key reasons why men had alcohol was to get high. But as India liberalized, more and more women entered the drinking fold. And when women entered the drinking fold, which means they were mixed company drinking. And men suddenly realize, much to their horror, that they can't get high. They have to still, you know, be at their best behavior. And therefore, the second shift that happened was that you had to consume alcohol, not for the purposes of getting high, but for socializing, because women were present there. And the third trend that is now coming is that more and more people, both men and women, who consumed alcohol, let's say for entertainment, are now shifting their entire perspective or preference from alcohol, which is hard alcohol, towards softer options, which is wine, right? So if you actually take this, that this is how the shift has taken place. Second, you were talking about societal thing. My entire perspective is this. Everything has to be had in moderation, and everything has a place in the society. Anything that you do in where you don't exercise moderation, it will always be bad. So what is the function of alcohol? There are several functions, you know, for socializing. So alcohol is one of those things which is like aloo. Wo har situation mein fit hota hai. Boss ne data, alcohol. Promotion hua, alcohol. Girlfriend left you, alcohol. Girlfriend came to you, alcohol. You got a job, alcohol. You got sacked, alcohol. So when you study this category, it is that one of those things, no matter what, it will always be there for you. Achhe samay mein, dukhi ke samay mein, gum mein, khushi mein, sab mein. And it really, let's say, is a good companion to have. But a good companion should always be had in moderation. So, jo mera perspective hai, I look upon it like this. Here is a product which is a good companion to you if you have it in moderation. Even when I look at the data, right, what I realize is that as far as misuse of alcohol is concerned, there's always a small percentage. So, you will say, how do you interpret that data? So, let me give you this entire perspective. So moving away from alcohol, let me just come to marketing. What we find is that, let's say, I'm just talking about a television company, right, who makes a very famous brand of television. Let's say, I'm not getting into the name. It could be anyone, Samsung, Sony, etc. So, when, let's say, World Cup cricket comes or any of these T20 matches come, then the television companies go and offer a big scheme, you know, of heavy discounts. So that people who want to watch cricket, you know, are going to actually buy the television set. And because the discount is offered, therefore customers are more eager to buy it. But there is a catch. And what is the catch? Sales to badh jata hai because they are giving a discount, a World Cup ka match final hai. But what these companies find is that the return of television after the match has ended is equally high. So agar normal circumstances may return rate due to defect is, let's say, less than 1%, less than significantly less than 1%. If this offer is made for the World Cup, then the sales shoot up, but the return after the match gets over the next day, the return is almost 3%. What is the reason? The reason is there are some people, some buyers who have gamed the system.
Okay.
They actually buy the television not with the intent of buying it, but the intent of seeing it on a state-of-art television screen and then next day return the thing. Because big companies actually don't ask you a question. If you're not satisfied, you could return it. But these companies realize that the people who game the system or misuse the system are less than 5%.
Sure.
And therefore, these companies pose a question to themselves. Should we run this promotion for 95% people who will actually benefit out of that scheme, or come out with a system which is for 5% who are gaming the system?
Sure.
The same is true for life. Should we design a system, create a product which will serve 95%, or focus on that 5% who are likely to misuse the system?
Okay, so I'm going to pick you on that one on a different segment of this conversation. I'm going to come back, bad boy. Do you see that there is a tremendous opportunity, or do you see there is an opportunity for brands to occupy that bad boy space? Because in reality, as human beings, there are different facets to us and the different things which appeal to us, right? I see so many brands taking that good boy image space. Do you see a vast space out there for brands to clearly come and say, hey, I'm a rebel, I'm a bad boy, I'm going to be in a category which is not societally nice to be in, and so on? As a business owner, as a marketeer, any views?
Oh, Upendra, personally, from my view, I would not never ever take that bad boy perspective or positioning for my brand. And the reason is very simple. Brands have to reflect the person who handles the brand. My personality is not of a rebel. My personality is not to take somebody for a ride. So let me just come to alcohol.
Sure.
And I will share with you something which I actually believed was not proper in my industry, in my perspective, in my own perspective, and what did I do to actually transform it. In alcohol, many a companies, what do? They have an alcohol bottle, they have snacks, they have an evening scene, and then they actually always invariably have a lady there. What is the perspective? People will notice, because men will notice the women. The moment they notice the women, next will go to the bottle, snacks, evening, and that is how they believe that the sale will happen. And when I questioned that belief or that perspective of the industry, I said, that's not the way to sell alcohol. I think that's a rather inappropriate way to sell the alcohol. And then I came out with this concept, which is from FMCG, that people buy solutions to their problems, right? Every product is a solution to their problem. And therefore I said, in alcohol, what are the problems that people have? And when I did that, I realized that people have a series of problems. Let's say smell. So I'm talking of 1990s, right?
Sure.
When there were no live-in relationships, when there were not as many, but there were few, and at least they were not open, right? So every drinker that I met, I asked him, what will make you consume more alcohol? Of course, in moderation.
Sure.
So he says, sir, problem ye hai ki hum log ko achha lagta hai. But jab hum log, after having our drink, we go home and we get close to our wife, then there's a havoc because there is smell there and my wife gets upset and there's a havoc at home. If we can remove the smell, we would actually love your drink. So what did we do? We launched a vodka that left no trace. And the moment we launched it, the sales went sky high. The second problem that we looked at was hangover. People love to have consumption of alcohol, but their concern was not of the evening, but their concern was for next morning. And then we launched a whiskey, which was called Good Morning After Great Evening. It sold 500,000 cases in the first year. Number three, we asked gin drinkers what will make you drink more gin. And we also asked whiskey drinkers what will make you shift from whiskey to gin. The whiskey drinker said, give us the convenience of whiskey. And gin drinkers said, make sure that lime juice cordial never gets over. Because in India, 76% of the time, gin is had with lime juice cordial. So we came out with this brand called Blue Ribbon Duet, which has lime pre-added to it. And the tagline was, when we introduced it, gin and lime premixed to perfection. In the first year, Blue Ribbon Duet sold 1 lakh cases. What is the bottom line? The bottom line, according to me, in any industry that you work in, first change the rules of the industry on relevant dimension. Second, get the best ideas from outside your industry. So in alcohol, what did I do? I got the idea from FMCG industry that you should launch alcohol as a solution to people's problem. And that's what we did. And second, by doing that, we changed the rules of the industry. And customers loved it for us.
So Rajesh, I'm going to ask you a slightly strategic, longer term question. Liquor as an industry has always been faced with constant challenges and seems to get even stiffer. Whether you talk about prohibition, whether you talk about taxation, whether you talk about excise. And then, of course, there is the societal commentary on drinking is bad, right? So you as a leader who've led large P&Ls and balance sheets, created categories, led several brands, and the funda of regulation is actually there in every industry in different avatars. I've spent most of my time in banking and financial services. So my question to you is, how does a leader operate and steer his team and organization in an environment where things like regulation and societal aspects are constantly evolving and to an extent actually getting tighter? Your views, tips, how do you do this?
Well, Upendra, all the constraints that you mentioned are all societal or taxation, etc. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as yet another competitive force on me. Societal pressure, ethics in drinking, taxation, GST, etc. I look upon it as hurdle, how to actually come out with a way in which I can overcome them. Take any other industry. Every industry, whether you are an automobile, whether you are selling soap, the competitive pressure is as high. So instead of looking what the competitive pressure is, look at how can you create a brand with which your customers fall hopelessly in love. And one customer fall hopelessly in love with you, then constraint really do not matter. So my bottom line is, how you perceive a situation will define your response to it. And if you use future-based language, which will actually help you overcome it. So when I looked at these constraints, I said, theek hai, ye to rehne wala hai aur ye badhne wala hai. Why focus on things which I don't have control? And therefore, one of the things, Upendra and friends, you got to look at are this concept called circle of control and circle of influence. If you want to grow big in life, then focus on what is in your control. And don't focus on what is outside your control. So, mere focus mein kya tha? Mere focus mein ye tha to understand my customers, understand the customer journey, understand the pain point that they have, and eliminate them so that it is reduced to either reduced or eliminated to zero. And once I did that and I told customers ki yaar, isko use karo, ya isko karo, you know, patronize this or give support to it, and they experienced it and they found that they had a pleasurable experience, then they always migrated to where I was. And that is, I guess, the bottom line.
So Rajesh, let me extend that. This is extremely important. The circle of influence, the circle of control. I get what you're saying. But the reality is, let's say you're leading an organization which has 1,000 employees, has 10,000 other stakeholders that whose lives are dependent on how your organization does, right? And every few months, something happens, right? So let's say you're in a liquor company and suddenly Bihar declares prohibition, right? Then another state says, hey, I'm evaluating this. And we're just using liquor as an example since we were talking about the liquor industry. So one is, how do you as a leader, yes, you've said, I need to be clear on that. But equally important is, what are those things that one does so that the other 1,000 and 10,000 are also getting the opportunity of seeing it the way that you do? What is it that you go and do for two things? What is it that you go and do to say to your team, to keep them motivated and saying, okay, now let me take up the next battle? B, as a leader, what are those kind of things that you need to do in an organization so that they can keep taking these hits, planned and unplanned, on a more regular basis?
So, first, let's start with the second part of your argument. How do you de-risk your business? And the best way to de-risk your business is never be dependent on one state, if you're talking of alcohol, for your survival. What is the bottom line? Bottom line is, in India, each state is like a country, and treat that state like a country. And if one country declares prohibition, your sales saliency should be so high that it may hit you. Of course, it will in the short run, but in the long run, you should be able to make up. How does that happen? Innovation. Having the next product ready. What would I propose? I would propose the simple thing. Look at each of these states as a country. Look at each country as a P&L on its own. And if one country gets hit, what you should do is you should focus on other countries, how you can up them. And therefore, you need to have constant amount of innovation that is available for all the countries that you have. So don't wait for the eventuality to happen. Assume that 3 or 4 states or 3 or 4 countries within quotes are likely to face this hit. Then what is going to be your reaction? And proactively, we always looked at how can we increase business? How do we reduce dependency on each and every state in the country? So even when we got hit in one country, right, or in one state, we always had other states to make it up. Number 2, motivation. How do you ensure that people don't get demotivated? If a state got hit, our solution was not to distribute pink slips. Our solution was very simple. It is outside our control. It's not something that we did it. But having faced with it, you will not lose the job with us. Here are opportunities in adjoining market where you can go and relocate. That was the second part. And number 3, what we did was that in other states which were not hit, and when these people moved there, we focused extra hard how to make up the losses. So as far as company sales were concerned, they kept on increasing. People were motivated seeing the past cases where it was declared. Those people did not lose their job, but they got an adjoining market or wherever they could be placed. And once people have the confidence ki yaar company mere piche hai, then even if they get hit, they go to the new place and start working with extra effort. Let me give you this small example. You know, partition jab hua India-Pakistan se, many of the people from Pakistan came to India. And you do not know what success stories they have created in India. So once you, because of partition, they had to come here in hardship. They started from ground zero. Same thing happens with people. If they had to relocate because of these constraints, they moved in like a partition person and worked extra hard to actually reset their dreams. And that is what we gave support to these people and everybody in the company and asked everybody to work extra hard to make sure that everybody in the company prospers.
So in conversations with many leaders, board members, investors, I hear two things when it comes to people. One is, and they say it's very hardly inculcated, inbred into the DNAs of the conversations and the culture. So one is, if shit hits a ceiling, so let's say I'm heading a liquor company and BR has happened, there are two ways the dialogues can happen. One bunch of boards basically say, let's fire the guys. There's another bunch of boards which say, now let's see what we can do. It means taking an interim hit. So my question to you is, I clearly know where you stand on that. But my question to you is, how can we get more people to start thinking of less about firing and more about what I can do with that talent? And how do I take that pain in the process?
Well, it's very simple. It depends on your mindset. What you have to do is, which is called compassion. Suppose Upendra, due to some unfortunate circumstances, the company came and gave you a pink slip. How would you feel? Not only how would you feel, the question that will hit you is, how will my family take this knock, right? It pains you.
Sure.
It hurts you. You can feel and experience that pain, right? Vicariously. And therefore, Upendra, what you have to do is, whether you are a CEO of a company or a board member, you need to have compassion with people. When you fire people, you just don't fire people. You actually hurt the whole family. That's the first thing. Second thing that you have to realize, in 21st century, there is a new rule. And let me ask you this question.
Sure.
The question is, what do you think is our job? Our job is to keep our customers happy. What do you think? Agree, disagree, can't say.
I think we spoke on this. I think it's for the employees.
So in 21st century, keeping customer happy is only one part of that equation. Along with that, you have the second god. The second god is employees. Not only should you keep your customers happy, but you have to also keep your employees happy. Why? Because happy employees give terrific experience to your customers. And when customers are happy, they will come and give you business. And that is what companies want. So my sincere request, recommendation to everybody is, companies made up of people. It is people who make or break a company. If you can motivate people, then you do not know the height to which they can take. The unfortunate tragedy is, globally and in my country, is that 91% of people are unhappy at work. And only 9% people are really excited to come to work. And let's break this 91%.
Sure.
Almost 60 people come to work and put in enough effort so that they do not get a pink slip and they get their monthly salary. Balance 31% people are those who come to work to keep their job, get the salary, but actively criticize the company. This is the state. Yes. So if 91% of people are unhappy at work, why will the company grow? And whose fault is it? I think the people who actually run the company. Have you ever thought how would you motivate them?
And I'm sure every board in India and around the world is looking at that number, right? I've also seen organizations firing people overnight, laying off tens of thousands of people, and fairly ruthlessly at that, if I may use the word. When you have senior seasoned leaders, and even the younger ones are extremely well educated, worked with great brands and teams and cultures, they're all seeing that statistic. Why isn't possibly as much being done on that aspect as logic would suggest should be done?
The reason is compassion. Most of the people who work in corporate India or corporate world are professionals.
Okay.
They work for two reasons, job and career. What is a job? A job, which I explained to you, is they work enough so that they get a monthly salary. Right. And second is career. Not only do they work for monthly salary, but they work hard for the benefits that a job offers. Career progression, incentive through which they can go on foreign trip, etc. Both in a job and a career, which is what majority of people are doing work for in corporate India and corporate world. Where is the customer? Where are the people they lead? It does not figure there. It is always about I. Therefore, most of the people don't have empathy and compassion. And the only time when they have empathy and compassion, when these people get the pink slip or they are fired, and then they realize, yaar, mereko to bahut dukh ho raha hai. But jab unko dusre ke liye karna hota hai, to there is no compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is not only feeling for that person to whom you have given the pink slip, but also acting on that feeling. To feel to ho gaya yaar, kharab lagega, but tumne kiya kya? Uska answer is near zero. So the answer is very simple.
Which is?
Compassion. And number two, don't be selfish. Corporate job is not about you and your career and what you can do on a foreign vacation. That's not the reason why corporates exist. Corporate exists to serve their customers. Corporate exists so that customers can achieve their objective. If customer is not at the center of decision making and your career is, then this kind of a thing will always happen.
So then I want to take you to this one. So in America, they're basically saying by next year or year after next, one out of two people working in corporate America are going to be working in a consulting capacity or a gig capacity. The gig economy in India is also increasing. The second statistic, of course, is that the average tenure of employment of an employee is also drastically falling. Then, of course, now we've talked about boards and how lethal they can be, right? In terms of taking calls on headcounts and manpower. So the question basically is, at one end, we are saying more and more companies are going to get even tighter in terms of the way they look at costs and people when the situation is not great. You're having the employment tenure shrinking. You're having more gig economies happening. And this is linked with the stuff which you've written in your book. So if I am a sales guy, let's say sitting in Bihar, right, working in an FMCG company, and I see this entire world changing around me. I'm in my early 30s, I'm married, I have two kids, I have my mortgage, I have all this happening. And I'm a very good sales guy, right? I'm meeting my targets, I'm doing my numbers. But I know at somewhere there's something in the back of my head which tells me, hang on, there's something not right. I know there is some risk, and tomorrow, even in this most stable environment I'm in, I might just lose the entire thing. So Rajesh, what should the sales guy sitting in a Bihar be doing right now?
Very simple. Very simple. Very simple. We live in a VUCA world, which is volatile, sure, ambiguous, complex, uncertain. What is true for companies, what they should do in a VUCA world is what individual people should do. What does company do in a VUCA world? They have to disrupt and destroy themselves before competition comes and does it to them. They have to become their strongest competitor. Disrupt and destroy themselves regularly and re-emerge in a stronger avatar. Follow the same principle as a professional. If you are sitting in Bihar, West Bengal, Maharashtra, you have to do the same thing, yaar. VUCA world mein tum reh rahe ho. Today, skill comes with an expiry date. World Economic Forum has already told you ki yaar tumko kya kya skill chahiye 21st century ke liye, to main tumko bata deta hu kya kya chahiye. Critical thinking, creativity, innovation, 10x thinking chahiye, ye tumko chahiye. Agar tumhare andar ye skill nahi hai to tum 21st century mein bahut buri tarah maar khaoge, tumhari company ke to tum chhod do bilkul. To tum bologe main seekhunga kahan se, yaar MOOCs hai na. MOOCs mein jao, online education karo, certificate lo aur seekh jao. Certificate to chhod do yaar, first get all these traits. And friends, Upendra, let me tell you this. And this is statistics which is very scary. 75% of the job that is currently there worldwide is under threat. Forget about this Bihar salesman. 75% of the jobs are under threat. Why? Because these jobs are repetitive jobs which are getting automated. ATM. 25% of the next level of jobs are under threat where middle level management comes in. Jahan decision making hota hai. And therefore, AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning is going to take over that. Arey yaar, 95% of the job is under threat. To only 5% bacha. To 5% job, agar aapko usme aap nahi move kiye 5% job mein, then your job is under serious threat. Forget about your company. And to survive in that 5%, what you require is, I just told you, critical thinking, creativity, innovation, 10x thinking. And one more last thing. Very simple, my friend. Your brain is divided into two parts, left brain and right brain. Okay, left brain is about rational thinking and analysis. So, wo to computer le lega, right? And you can't actually beat the computer. Fir tumhara jo ek aur brain hai, which is called right brain, where creativity, etc. reside. So, for any person in any part of the world, under any job, whether you are a CEO, board member or a sales guy, friend, while you focus on left brain, wo to chahiye hi chahiye, that's a hygiene factor. Strengthening your left brain will not give you competitive advantage, absence will kill you. But what will give you advantage in 21st century is not left brain, is right brain. Right brain stands for creativity, teamwork, people skill. Wo sab inculcate karo aur fir dekho 21st century kitna suhana lagta hai.
Okay, I'm going to come back and let's call this guy Raj. Okay, Raj in Bihar, working in an FMCG company, great sales guy, 30 years old. Everything which you've said is phenomenally bang on, right? But let's come back to Raj and tell him, okay, this guy is working 10-12 hours a day, makes 20-30,000 bucks a month, so pretty much barely making ends meet, has possibly just a Sunday when he gets some time to chill out and spend time with the family and pay the bills. Can you tell Raj, what are those two or three things he should be doing in that environment in which he lives in? And give me a few very simple examples.
Bahut simple hai na. First and foremost, Raj ko apne mindset mein change lana hai. To Raj ka mindset normally Bharat desh mein hota hai fixed mindset. Mere ko to sab aata hai. Mere ko kya janta sikhayegi? Main to 10 saal se seekh raha hu. To fixed mindset se growth mindset pe aana hai. Tumko jitna bhi aata hai wo kam hai aur seekhne ki zarurat hai. So first is change in mindset, which is called growth mindset. Second is called immigrant mindset. जिस शहर में हम लोग बात कर रहे हैं इसको कहते हैं इमिग्रेंट सिटी.
ठीक है,
इमिग्रेंट सिटी का क्या मतलब होता है? बॉम्बे एंड न्यूयॉर्क आर टू इमिग्रेंट सिटी. यहाँ पे जो बंदा है उसकी एक ही ऑब्जेक्टिव है, या मेजोरिटी ऑफ द पीपल हु आर इन द सिटी उनका एक ही ऑब्जेक्टिव है यार, हर अपॉर्चुनिटी इज टू मेक मनी. अब इसको तुम ट्रांसलेट कर लो प्रोफेशनल एडवाइस में, हैव एन इमिग्रेंट माइंड सेट. एवरी अपॉर्चुनिटी दैट अ सेल्स पर्सन हैज इज टू हेल्प द कस्टमर, यू नो, इम्प्रूव हिज लाइफ. तो इंस्टेड ऑफ सेलिंग, राज हैज टू ट्रांसफॉर्म हिज माइंडसेट एंड हैव एन इमिग्रेंट माइंडसेट. यार मेरा ऑब्जेक्टिव बेचना नहीं है, मेरा ऑब्जेक्टिव है प्रोवाइड एवरीथिंग दैट अ कस्टमर नीड्स सो दैट हिज ऑब्जेक्टिव कैन बी मेट. सो इमिग्रेंट माइंडसेट. थर्ड इज कॉल्ड एविएशन माइंडसेट. व्हाट इज एविएशन माइंडसेट? मिस्टेक्स तो मैं करूंगा लेकिन मिस्टेक से डरना नहीं चाहिए, और मिस्टेक किया तो उसको कारपेट के नीचे मत डालो, अंडरस्टैंड करो यार ये मिस्टेक हुआ क्यों, और जब पता चल जाए मिस्टेक क्या हुआ, गो बैक एंड एलिमिनेट दैट मिस्टेक. तो प्रोग्रेसिवली क्या होगा, ये नहीं होगा कि नेक्स्ट यू विल नॉट मेक मिस्टेक, बट वो मिस्टेक नहीं होगा. सो प्रोग्रेसिवली यू बिकम बेटर एंड बेटर एंड देन एक्वायर दीज स्किल्स. सो इफ यू टेक अ लुक एट इट, द मार्केट विल ऑलवेज रिमेन कॉम्पिटिटिव. इट इज आउटसाइड योर सर्कल ऑफ कंट्रोल. तो तुम्हारे कंट्रोल में क्या है उससे तुम शुरुआत करो. फर्स्ट इज योर माइंड, ब्रिंग अबाउट अ शिफ्ट इन योर माइंड सेट. सेकेंड इज पुट इन एफर्ट टू एक्वायर द न्यू स्किल. And once you shift your mind and get these new skills, yaar, usko andar mat rakho, practice karo every day. And once you do all this, to like a fragrance, tumhari sugandh phailegi. Fir tumko companies reach out karenge, tumko bolenge, yaar, aake naukri karo hamare saath. Fir you dictate terms and then follow this again and again and again. So bottom line, what companies do in a VUCA world is, they have to disrupt and destroy themselves and emerge in a stronger avatar. So has Raj have to do, whether he is a salesperson or a CEO in any part of the world.
The next subject I've been waiting or yearning to chat with you on is, and again from your book, is this whole word of competition, right? And for some strange reason, I was looking up the dictionary to figure out what really does competition mean. So the dictionary says, the person or people over whom one is attempting to establish one's supremacy or superiority. And what caught my mind or my eye was supremacy and superiority. So first question is, in today's day and age, right, when everyone is fighting for share of wallet or share of time, how does a company go around actually figuring out who is their competition? All right. The second is, we've also heard of this word co-opetition, correct? How do leaders start keeping an open mind saying, it's cool to work with someone who maybe part of me thinks is competition because it works for this phase. And it's okay then to call him my arch rival or enemy at a later stage.
So the first point is about competition. Dictionaries were written, I think, 200 years back.
Sure.
Lekin agar tum dictionary ko follow karoge na, to I think you'll be dead in 21st century.
Great.
Right? So let's do this.
Good feedback.
Let's do this with you now, Upendra.
Sure.
Right? Tesla today is the most valuable US automobile company. Uska market cap is the highest, right, in January. Kyo? What is the reason why Tesla has the highest market cap overtaking General Motors, Ford, Chrysler? Why? There was a saying once upon a time, what is good for GM is good for US.
Right.
So kya hua fir? The reason is the nature of competition has changed.
Sure.
Tesla is not an automobile company, it's a technology company. And therefore, 21st century competition is invisible, indirect and cross-industry. Agar invisible hai, indirect hai, cross-industry hai, toh tumko pata kaise chalega ki tumhara competition kaun hai. And if you are competition obsessed, toh tumko pata hi nahi hai competition. It's like firing in the dark. Toh tumne apna energy bhi waste kar diya, uska koi fayda bhi nahi hoga.
Theek hai.
And this strategy is when competition was 19th last century. At that time, competition was direct, visible and from the same industry. So, ek to hai na, first and foremost, guys, get rid of competition and obsession with competition. You are not in the business of making a better product and killing competition, my friend. You are in the business of creating products, services with which customers fall in love. Competition aa kahan raha hai, yaar? Tumhare aur customer ke beech mein mere ko ye bata do. Why are you obsessed with competition? Be obsessed with customer na. Make him fall repeatedly. You have a girlfriend, right, Upendra? Okay, sorry, you are married. So what did you do repeatedly when you went on each date? Did you not make her fall in love with you not once, every time? Same cheez karo na yaar customer ke saath. Kya tumko rok raha hai? Just your mindset.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. So it's customer obsession. You're saying focus on the customer.
Not obsession, lip service, dil se.
Okay, so Rajesh, I have to ask you this, and you're a remarkable leader for a particular reason. And the more I've been chatting with you, and I've truly appreciated that, you've navigated across different companies, cultures, categories, geographies, and you've done that in a stellar career. And now, of course, you are on your own, you're mentoring, you're writing books, you're teaching, right? You very effortlessly seem to be able to move in a very effortless, seamless, smooth manner across these different things in life. What's the secret?
Simple, hai na? Follow the customer. The customer that I have chosen to make him fall in love uses my deo, has alcohol, reads my book. He wants training. He wants education. So customer to same hai. It is you who feel that I've changed the industry. I don't look upon it as industry. I look upon it that my job is to actually engage with the customer and give him the best possible solution. So, jo maine Dio launch kiya, I think it was the best Dio in the world. Main jo content, jo maine kitab likhi, I believe the content is very, very useful. The staple diet that I created, which she has, is one of the best. So, the bottom line is very simple. I don't look upon it as industry. I look at it as my customer. Jo customer Dio use karta hai, wo evening mein entertain karta hai, usko training chahiye, usko content chahiye. So the shift in mind is what has made all the difference. I never felt I traveled industry. I always felt that I am trying to serve my customer.
Very valid, and I just hope that there will be so many more people looking at professionals and their expertise in that context. Because quite often I see everyone putting them into a category of which industry, which category have you come in from. Very few are actually taking it from a consumer lens, so very refreshing. And I truly hope there are many more looking at it from that way. Now, before we head to my famous last section, my last question. If you could share with us two mistakes which you've made and what you've learned. And this is a professional context. The dating one is another podcast.
The biggest mistake that I think I made was I was obsessed with launching brands. Many of those brands did not actually do as well as I thought they did well, but not from the expectation. And I took those failures personally. This was the biggest mistake. And second thing that I regret, repent, and I don't think I have time to make up was that I was so obsessed with work that I actually forgot to live my life. Aaj jab main apne aap ko dekhta hoon, what a poor life I led. I forgot to live my life. And what does live my life mean? I did not spend enough time with my son, with my wife, with my friends. And it is a very poor life that I led. Did I repent it? Of course I repented it. And therefore in 2008, I gave up my corporate career to actually spend time with my wife, my son. And those days, and those moments are the happiest in my life today.
Good. And I can clearly see that your son has been inspired by some of your learnings.
And one last point that I wish to make about this is very simple. Never take failure personally. Never take. Be like a Hindi film producer, thick-skinned. Right? That is what my life learning is.
Okay, Sir Rajesh, we are heading into the last segment of this podcast. It's called the Quickfire Round, inspired by a very famous film producer who has a show. But we do things a bit differently. Even if you give very good answers, we will not give you a coffee hamper. So this is random stuff, and it just allows us to understand you a little bit more. Tinge of humor, tinge of yourself, just feel free as it goes, okay? Best book?
Best book, Lee Iacocca, which I read long time back.
Okay. Your favorite movie?
Sholay.
First crush?
IIT.
Pardon me?
My first crush was I was hopelessly in love with the idea of getting into IIT.
Oh, you're a romantic. I really thought I would hear a name out here.
IIT is the best thing to fall in love with. Oh. Best.
Okay, I need something else to crack this one open. Your favorite cocktail?
Margarita.
Really? Okay. Can you describe in three words the worst person in your professional career that you've ever had to work with? Manager, peer, subordinate, whichever way that you look at it.
Selfish.
Okay.
That's it. The person was always selfish. He was self-centered, always thought about himself and how to protect his career, and never bothered about rest of the people, his team or customers or the company.
All right. English or Hindi?
English.
No, English or Hindi?
Hindi, I would prefer. It comes straight from the heart.
And I'm very, very,
but
very
yaar,
happy.
Maine
that...
English mein bol diya. Yaar, mujhe Hindi pasand hai. Wo dil se bol sakta hu. Wo meri mother tongue hai aur maza aata hai. Wo jab main Hindi mein baat karta hu, to dil chhu jata hai.
Sure.
Angrezi, it's good.
Doesn't have the same romance to it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Okay. The most exciting innovation of recent times.
Which I did?
No, yeah. Around you.
Around you. I'll talk about me. I was the first guy, certainly in my country, who actually changed the rules. I said, I will not sell Dio, I'll sell perfume.
Okay.
In 2002, the Dio size was 66 crore. Today, it is close to 5,000 odd crores. That growth is only because of the shift of innovation. No to Dio, yes to perfume. Aaj koi bhi Dio bik nahi sakta hai Bharat desh mein unless they say perfume.
If you're given 1,000 crores today, right, or let's make it $1 billion, since everyone seems to be talking in dollars. What kind of a business would you set up today?
I would set up a business in the area of education, health and entertainment, in that order. Kyunki agar, and that to education for girls. Because agar girls educated hoti hain, to family educated hota hai. Family educated hota hai, to country educated hoti hai. Right? This is one. Second, in health. Agar girls ka health theek rahega, to padhai pe focus kar payengi, and this loop actually gets strengthened. Number three, entertainment. If girls get entertained, they are healthy, they focus on learning, then my country will be a happy place.
Something you wish you had discovered or created?
I wish I had discovered the formula of how to keep my family happy.
Okay.
Right? Even more than what I have done.
All right. Three things every student must do today. Or let me frame it differently. Three things which every learner must do today.
First is shift in mindset. From know-it-all, shift towards learn-it-all. Number three, what you have to do is constantly disrupt and destroy yourself. And number three, don't take yourself seriously. Whatever you know comes with an expiry date.
Okay. Three naughty things each and every one of us must do in life.
Go to places which make you feel uncomfortable. So I went when I was selling Khub Jame Ka Rang Jab Mil Baithenge Teen Yaar. I had to actually go to beer bar to understand yaar ye kaise rang jamta hai. And that I thought was naughty because my boss was very shocked that I had to go there to actually see it. And this experience is one experience, but it is three times more powerful than any other experience anyone can have.
So on that note, Rajesh Srivastav, I'd like to thank you so much. Chatting with you has always been incredible. Chatting with you on the podcast has been even more incredible. You have a ton of wealth and knowledge in terms of your experience and expertise. And I know we've barely scratched the surface. I am reading your book, The New Rules of Business, and I'm hoping others too will. And once again, wish you every success in everything that you do in life. And I am sure you will be much more happier than you've ever been. I can see that glint in your eyes. Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you, Upendra. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a distinct pleasure.
Awaaz.com